Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, good morning, Doug.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, just wonderful. Great weather and great day.
Exactly. Our friend Dave, have to listen to us complain about the weather. It is absolutely beautiful here today. It's going to be 86 with no humidity. That's my kind of weather.
Yes, yes. There's not many of these days in the calendar year, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know if you've seen the picture I put out, which you usually don't. I usually ask you, no, I haven't seen it. I see nothing you do. But last night I was sitting out on the side porch with my puppy, me and my wife. We were just relaxing, and I said the little things in life. I posted out sitting there with Presley out on the porch. It was just so beautiful out last night. Sometimes it's just nice to sit down and just chill for a couple minutes and just enjoy life. I was watching birds playing in the yard. I mean, remember how I told you about my outside cats? The one passed away. I lost him, and the other one went to the farm with the original owner, took the Buster back. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised at the life that's in my yard now. Like, we used to have, when we first bought the house, we had rabbits everywhere. We had birds. We had squirrels. We had everything. It was a wild kingdom matter because we live in the woods a little bit. I mean, I live in a perfect area, I think. It's like, I live on a side road that looks like the country, but two Wawas, a Target, the Home Depot, Lowe's, everything's within 5 minutes of my house. It's like the main thoroughfares. You would think I live in the country, but you go to the end of my road, you hit the highway.
The best of both worlds.
Exactly. And with the cats here, dude, nothing lived here.
Right, right.
It was just a cat. I mean, the animals all ran. They controlled my acre, if you follow me, and my neighbor's couple acres. And now you sit out on that porch, and I was out cutting the grass the other day, Dennis, and it scared the death out of me. A squirrel literally jumped off my roof, and I swear to you, landed a foot in front of me. It missed landing on my head by an inch, dude. I mean, you're talking about, I jumped like a little girl.
Well, when you're not expecting it, I know that can startle you, especially you probably had your Bluetooth in and you were listening to something. So you have that you don't have that perception or that sense working fully. You know what I mean? So it's kind of eerie.
You're right. I had my earphones in. I had my headphones over because I wear these noise-canceling headphones, like the ones that slide over your head, the safety ones. Because I wear them for my ears when I'm riding my tractor. Because of all the years of construction and stuff like that, I'm trying to save my hearing.
Especially what now, little you have left, you're trying to save?
Yeah, plus listening to you knuckleheads a couple days a week with these headphones on. I'm just trying to be proactive. So, yeah, what I do is I wear the little earbuds in my ears, and then I put the noise canceling over them. So I don't have the radio loud while I'm on the tractor and stuff.
Right, right.
And I had them on. I had the leaf blower in my hand, and he came off the roof, landed right in front of me. Oh, my good. I jumped like 8 inches off the ground because that's the highest vertical I have now. But anyway, no, it's nice. We were sitting out on the porch enjoying the beautiful weather. I had a nice victory in my hand. I was drinking a nice Helles. Things don't get much better than that, Dan.
No, and you're right. You got to sometimes take a breath and, like you said, just take in the day or the moment. Because, you know, our life is ticking away here. And like we were saying, in between trips, you got to live your life. And, you know, yeah, you got to work, you got to pay your bills, but you got to try to enjoy the days, you know, the best you can, because you never know.
Oh, I hear you, brother. That's what I'm saying. It's like we're always in a rush, aren't we? Don't you?
Right.
Don't you feel like every minute of every day is planned out for you anymore?
Yeah, it reminds me of a thing I saw on TV once, and the guy illustrated it like this. He had a big glass jar, and then he had all kinds of stones of different size all over the table, and he just grabbed a handful of like small stones and start filling the jar up, and then he had some larger stones over, you know, around like maybe golf ball size or something like that. But his point was, after he put all the little stones in, which he equated to the little stupid things that we do, busy things, just things we have to do every day of our life, he says, if you put too many of those things in the jar, you don't have any room for these big ones over here, which are the important things, your family and your friends and this and that. And it was, you know, I'm not doing it justice, it was a little more he did a better job, but the point was that, you know, the jar was full with all the little, you know, BS things that we you know, we think we have to do when maybe you don't, you know, and it was just made you think that, you know, you should have your priorities right. He said, now do it this way. This time, he says, don't put any of the little ones in the jar, put the big ones all in the jar. And then whatever else you have left, any room in the jar, then you sprinkle the little ones in there. That's how to do it, you know, and it made sense to me, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's how I feel about, you know, like last night I said, just chilling with them. It was nice.
And, yeah.
And Disney once a year is a golf ball. That has to be in the jar.
Yep. Yeah. It's a softball for me.
I hear you, though. And that's the point we're making. You got to do – life has – every day you have too much to do, and sometimes slow down a little bit and enjoy a little – that's what I was trying to say last night. It was – when I was sitting there, that's what made me think of it. It's just sometimes the little things mean a lot, you know, and that's what I was saying last night.
Yep. Absolutely.
Speaking of little things that mean a lot, our buddy John.
Yeah, where is he? You playing hooky today or what?
Yeah, John's playing hooky. Actually, he's one of the newest cast members for the Walt Disney Company. So John is working for Disney.
I always knew that kid was going places.
Yes. We're proud of our Johnny.
Yes.
The news we're getting, he's going to be somewhere in the African Pavilion over the next few years is what he's hoping. It looks like he's going to be stationed over in the Animal Kingdom. Which that's right up John's alley. He loves that.
Yeah, I mean, he has that newfound love of Animal Kingdom, as we know. He spent quite a bit of time there on his last vacation. And, you know, we know he loves Epcot as we do, but he really has taken a love of, Animal Kingdom. So this should work out well for him.
To be honest with you, and I don't know about you, I don't know how you would think about this. It's a part-time job. He's been wanting to work part-time for Disney for a while, and he finally decided to do it. So we're happy for you, John. Congrats. And I think it's a good thing he's working in Animal Kingdom or one of the other parks and not Epcot, because it might take a little love away from Epcot for him.
Yeah, that old saying, you don't want to work where you play. I think there's something to that. I would agree with you. And some people even go so far as to say they wouldn't want to work for Disney if they are a Disney nut, because it might just, you know, sour. Because as we all know, and it's unfortunate, not to be a negative here, but I guess I do that from time to time, so I'll do it. No matter, even though it's Disney World, you know, every job you take or every job you go on, there's going to be jerks and people that are trying to undermine you and people that you don't care for. And, you know, and there'll be some very nice people as well. But, you know, you might get some attitude at work or maybe not have a good day or, you know, things don't go right, and it could spill over into your, you know, associating your, you know,
I get what
your not vacationing, but your, you know, when you go there, now that he's going to know some people, obviously, a lot more than you would as a guest, you know, it could.
Doug's going to be the positive one today, and it would be, I'm going to say, to me and you, I think, Dennis, to some people, I think the person taking the job because it's a job there would probably have that attitude. But I think we love it so much. It would be kind of like us playing professional golf for a living. It's our hobby, so we love it so much. I think it might aggravate us, but we couldn't get enough of it. because we love nosying around, being around. Like, it's just it's our hobby and it's our love. So I'm hoping he has the greatest time, the best time. He meets wonderful cast members that he can't even wait to see on his off days. That's what I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, yeah. No, hopefully it'll work that way. Yeah, and it kind of worked out like that for me at the Disney store. And you're right, Doug, because there were people that literally just took the job because it was a job they could get, which they weren't as how can I say
enthusiastic about it?
Yes,
you.
Exactly. Where I would let a lot of stuff roll off my back because I'd say, hey, how bad can it be? We're working for Mickey Mouse here. Come on, you know.
Exactly. And you have to admit you had a totally different attitude about that job than the one you're at now.
Absolutely. I'd never let some of the stuff go at my real job that I let go there, or, you know, just not look the other way, but just I didn't get, you know, bent out of shape over stuff because, you know, it was the Mouse and I was proud to be working for Disney in some small way, not Disney World, but certainly the Disney company.
You felt a part of it. It also gave you perks and different things to help on your vacations, which was a great thing. And the thing of it is like, I know your job now, Dennis, is not your dream job. You love your job. You want to do the best you can at it, but is it your dream job? You don't like the Disney job was like you wanted to be there. So you decided to do that. You didn't have to do it. You wanted to do it. So it didn't make it as bad as your regular job.
No, but if I could switch salaries, I would have done it in a heartbeat. I'd rather, you know, do the work that I was doing at Disney, you know, making the money up, making it my real job, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. You're doing the real job because you have to feed your family.
Exactly.
If you could feed your family off the other one, you'd have been gone a long time ago.
Yes. I'd be in the animal kingdom in Africa working somewhere down there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the same boat I'm in right now. But see, that's the reason why I'm hoping when I do finally get down there, I'm in some kind of the maintenance phase. So none of the parks are really like, even if I'm working at them, I'll be at different ones is what I'm hoping to do. I'm hoping to be that part. Not in this way, I'm not in the parks all the time. I'd rather be a part of the resorts, like redoing the resorts or something like that. So it's still like it would be Disney. I would get all the Disney perks, but it'd still be like what I've done my whole life, if that makes sense to you. Like I'd just be going to another house or apartment or a construction site to work on a building. It wouldn't be like I'm standing at Pirates all day.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. That would you wouldn't miss a beat that way. And the construction is, you know, it's pretty much the same anywhere you go, a little different depending on what the region is, you know, but by and large, it's all the same stuff. I agree with that. And that way you keep your parks, you know, for your fun time.
Exactly. Like, you know, I mean, even if you could run, if you got a job with them doing what you do, running the facility, it wouldn't be the same as if you're in the park every day. It would still be, you know, then you would go to the park to blow off some steam. So,
exactly.
I mean, I think John's going to have a phenomenal time. I think he's going to be a heck of a cast member. I can't wait to talk to him about everything that went on. And I know he's looking forward to it. And the point is, I know he loves Animal Kingdom. He'll have a great time working there because he fits in. If he gets a job on my train, me and him's going to have issues.
Do we even know? Or does he even know? Like, is he in attractions or
service? He's in attractions. So what he's betting on, it's either going to be Kilimanjaro Safari, the Kiki Planet Watch, the train.
Yeah.
You know, conservation station, or it's going to be over at the Lion King. So one of those three, I wouldn't be unhappy with that, would you?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, we'll see what it actually is that he does. And, you know, you kind of hit the nail on the head. You know, you see when we go in the queue lines and stuff, or a lot of times at the FastPass kiosk, they'll have a cast member or two just standing there watching people scan their bands. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I could do that all day. I mean, I'm sure they have a way, and in fact, I know they do, where they rotate people.
Yeah, they rotate.
An hour that, then they might go do something else because, you know, that's tough duty. You wouldn't think it would be. You'd say, oh, I could do that. That's easy. No heavy lifting. Yeah, do that for 4 hours straight and see how you like it. You know, someone like yourself that likes to be moving all the time, you know, you'd go stir crazy after a while.
Yeah, the only thing that would be good for me, like the train, know how you can interact with the cast members, putting them on and off. I'd be okay with that because I'd be the one talking to people all day about how to where you want to go, what do you plan on doing? I'd be into helping people all day. So yeah, I'd be okay with that.
You'd occupy yourself by talking and, you know, kind of having fun with the guests, kind of.
In case you guys haven't noticed, I got the gift of gab, so yeah. I could strike up a conversation with a rock.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty good at that. But, no, I think he'll be happy. And from what I did get, they do rotate. So, good. I mean, the train, I don't think he's going to be driving the train. So, basically, the train, it's either going to be, you're going to be at one end of the train or the other. So,
yeah,
if you rotate there, you know, or I guess there is a couple people that also don't get on the train. That
right,
you
they
have
stay
to get,
the
yeah,
platform.
Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, I think he's going to be a great cast member, and I'm looking forward to hearing from our buddy and getting him on. He'll be on Tuesday, so we'll get some of the as much gossip as we can out of him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure he'll get a cool costume to wear, regardless of what he's doing and all that, bright Animal Kingdom garb. He'll look fun.
Yeah,
we'll have fun.
He got us. Did you see the picture of him yesterday?
I did not.
Do you even come to our show? Do you know what's going on at all until Sunday morning?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to stay off of social media. I've just been so busy. Seriously, Doug, I just haven't had time.
Well, I got to pick on you anyway. But anyway, he tweeted out yesterday afternoon a picture of himself with he got a new set of mouse ears.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they give him ears, and he got his new name tag. The one he took the picture on was the one he had a write on, but he got his official one when he left yesterday, he was telling me. So
that's nice.
But they
he shot
a picture from Disney yesterday when he got hired.
Wonder if he'll have that earning my ears type thing. Well, I guess he already got his ears if they gave them to him, so
yes.
He doesn't have to earn them.
Yeah, he earned them yesterday apparently, so.
Awesome.
But we're looking forward to seeing John from Orlando is what his name tag says. So look for John from Orlando. So do you want to get into some news, my good friend?
Yeah. I haven't really perused this too much. So I did see one story that was bumming me out, but that's okay. Drum Corps International marching performances at Disney Springs this weekend. Let's see.
Now your iPad's sticking.
Yeah, no, I got it. Disney Springs hosted a day of Drum Corps International marching performances. Actually, it's happening today, July 9th. The Cavaliers, Rosemont, Illinois at 11 a.m. Carolina Crown, Fort Mill, South Carolina at 1 p.m. Then the Cadets from Allentown, Pennsylvania at 3 p.m. All performers will march through Disney Springs starting on the west side near Cirque du Soleil, La Nuba, and finishing at the Marketplace near Once Upon a Toy. Viewing areas are located between Splitsville Luxury Lanes and Disney Springs AMC Theaters 24, over near Planet Hollywood Observatory, between Zara and Anthropology, near the Daily Poutine, and between Ghirardelli Ice Cream Chocolate Shop and the World of Disney. So I think this is the first time we've had something like this, the bands marching through there, but I guess that's a pretty good idea with the space they have down there.
Grab a cocktail and enjoy some music is the way I look at it. It's any extra entertainment is good, unless it's like every once in a while, and I know it's just because we're Waldorf and Stadler sitting in the box. We're old farts. But sometimes the music can be too loud and annoy you. But for the most part, any kind of music is good music. The ambient music at Disney is one of the things that I love so much about it.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. And like you said, when they bring little things in like this, they're not earth-shattering, but certainly it makes for that, the ambient background music or even, like we were talking about, the Eat to the Beat series or the Flower Power series they have in the spring for Flower and Garden. All that stuff is added value to your vacation.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Speaking of Eat to the Beat and all that stuff, I'm shocked the food and wine menus aren't out yet.
Oh, yeah, Bob must be going berserk. I mean, I know he literally is on his computer hitting refresh every minute or two, waiting for him to be released. That could be a good thing, though. Maybe they'll do something different.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Well, I'm excited, too. And one of the reasons I want the food and wine menus out is because I want them to go to the Christmas menus for the food around the world when I'm going to be
right,
there.
Right, yeah.
I know,
that's a good point.
You're going to be there for food and wine, aren't you?
Yeah, I think she worked it out where we're going to catch the tail end of Food and Wine and catch the tail end of the Halloween and catch the beginning part of the Christmas stuff. That was the point. We're booking the Very Merry Christmas Party. I was informed. I wasn't even aware of that. So however it works out, we're going to be able to see, you know, some of the Christmas stuff.
No, oh, you're going to be excited about that, dude, if you're there then. Yeah, but yeah, they do have that set up by then. So, yeah, you're going to enjoy that then.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's why we kind of went a little later than we usually do this year so that we could see. I know that it won't be in full bore, you know, everything may not be up, but, so, you know, I'm hoping some of the resorts, their trees are up and some of the decorations are up too, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more up than you plan on. They usually go from one to the other pretty darn quick now.
All right, well, that's even better. I hope it all gets up then. That'd be awesome.
Yep, if you're there at a time when they're going to have the Christmas party, a lot of the resorts are starting to decorate, so I think you'll be pretty good shape.
Yeah, I think that we had two dates to choose from, my daughter was telling me, and I forget which one she said, but we're going to buy our tickets here shortly so we don't get closed out.
Yeah, give them a tip, too, because they need it.
Yeah.
What's next, my friend?
Yeah, new gastropub to replace Captain's Grill at Disney's Yacht Club. Disney is in the midst of a major dining makeover at the Yacht Club Resort and today announced that the new gastropub restaurant will replace the Captain's Grill. The Ale & Compass restaurant will open in October of 2017, featuring new England-inspired comfort food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The look of the table service restaurant will take cues from a lighthouse with an on-stage hearth oven as its focal point. Nearby, the Ale and Compass Lounge will also open in October with a new look and menu. Seating will also expand to 58 seats. The updates began with the recent opening of the market at Ale and Compass, a quick service grab and go location. So I'm excited about the whole new, you know, facility here and the makeover of the, you know, Ale and Compass Lounge. But, you know, Captain's Grill was a favorite of ours. But, you know, again, I guess you got to make room for the new, and maybe this will even be better, I guess, if I want to look at it positively.
Yeah, we need to drive down and take all sharp objects away from Bob.
Yeah, they're really going after his resort, his favorite dish on property. They're really just sticking it to Bob good.
hopefully they keep that braise some kind of on the menu, braise.
Yeah, the short ribs. Yeah,
but I doubt they will, and I feel bad for Bob.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's feeling like they're literally, you know, doing this to him personally, and they're certainly not. But a few of his favorite things this year are coming to an end. So Mr. Allin WDW is not going to be a happy camper.
The only thing I'm upset is it's from New England.
Yeah. We're going to have Tom Brady serving, footballs. I don't know. But
we've been saying they need a pub. I wanted a pub and a brewery, another one, like, or something like an outside bar or something like this. I don't want to. I just started to love the Captain's Grill with the breakfasts there. Now they're taking it from me. Hopefully it's saying this is going to be open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So hopefully it does. I'm hoping it does the same thing. I'm hoping it has a really nice atmosphere because I love that for breakfast. It was calm and peaceful in there. Like, now how you go over to Contemporary, like I did eat at the Contempo Cafe, and you have Chef Mick, all that there. And the Contempo Cafe was great for breakfast, but it is hustling and bustling. That atrium there in the Contemporary is noisy.
Yeah, you're right, and that's why one of the reasons we like the Captain's Grill, because it was at a resort, obviously, but it was kind of off the beaten path, and it wasn't you're right, the hustle and bustle is the best way to put it. You could kind of relax, and it's sort of quiet, and the food was good. And again, for me, Captain's Grill, just a lot of family memories. Once we discovered that buffet years ago, you know, I've said it many times on the show, we'd usually get over there once a vacation to have breakfast one morning. And, you know, just again, a lot of memories there. And, you know, we'll just have to make new ones, I guess, at this new place if it turns out being good, which I'm sure it will. But with the new restaurant and everything new, we'll bring it with it crowds of people, and it may, our hustle and bustle less Captain's Grill may be no more, and that there's more, probably likely to be a lot more people around once it reopens.
Yeah, well, that's the deal with me. The thing I did love about it, Dan, is it had like that morning local diner feel in it, if that makes sense to you, where everybody was in there, but everybody was quiet.
Yeah.
Just getting their day started nice and slow. It was a nice, relaxing launch to a vacation day. It, like, literally, and I know it kind of is, but have you ever been to a train station?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, like 30, like our 30th Street station here, or big Philadelphia, we used to go there a lot. That was when Mom would go to my sister-in-law's. But the Contemporary is gorgeous and all, but the atrium, the Grand, that feels like a train station in there.
Yeah, because
the monorail and all.
Yeah, because many people use it as they're not going there, or it's not even their destination. They're going there to get a connecting bus, or people are picking them up with a car. Or you're right, there's a lot more activity there than just the people that are using the resort to stay there. There's, you know, many restaurants there, and there's a lot of things that
you hear the plates banging, like everything echoes in there. And I enjoy that. Like, it's okay. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but like, because when me, Jimmy, and Mark ate there the last trip at Contempt, we had a great time there. It was nice.
Yeah.
But I was with the guys, and we were kind of up that morning. But the other morning that day, we stayed at the Captain. It was just so nice to be in the Captain's Grill to just chill for an hour.
Yeah.
Have a nice, relaxing breakfast. Talk nice and low. So what do you guys want to do today? We're going to head over to Epcot. We got Soren. It was like a nice little quiet meeting, relaxing. It wasn't like 50 people standing behind you and kids screaming. I just missed that. And, like, remember boat rides used to be the same way?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was very similar.
But they don't have breakfast there anymore, which I don't understand that either.
No, I don't either, but it's, you know, beyond me. Hopefully they bring it back at some point, but it's not being served now, that's for sure.
So what we could say is we're excited about seeing the new place, but we're going to miss Captain's Grill big time. And, Bob, we're sorry for your loss.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even think of that, the short ribs there.
Yeah, the braised short ribs. Yeah, Mary, take all sharp objects from Bob, please.
Yes. let's see here. Next story. The new name for Characters in Flight tethered balloon at Disney Springs. The tethered balloon ride at Disney Springs now has a new name, Aerofile, the world leader in balloon flight. Oh, boy, I don't like that. Too difficult.
Let's go on Aerofile.
I don't like that. A new balloon design was unveiled earlier this year, and changes have been made to the ticket kiosk to fit more closely with the new look the West Side following its transition from Downtown Disney to Disney Springs. Yeah, it's as simple as that. I mean, they took it from the pictures I'm looking at here. There's no more characters on it, which makes sense because they took away the name Character in Flight. And Aerofile, the world leader in balloon flight, is the new name. So
I think the balloon looks beautiful. It's a nice design. It does fit. It's like the blue I love because it blends in with the sky. I like it because it's there, but it's not overwhelming. It just fits perfectly in with the spring, so I like the new design of it.
Kind of regal looking. It's more upper class now, it looks like, where, you know, not that it wasn't high class before, but it was, I don't know. I think that this is the third version now. There was the original, then they went to that Mary Poppins one there with the red and yellow, so I think this is the third variation of the balloon since it's been up there.
It's a little more elegant, like the rest of the springs. It fits in. You know, it's subdued now. It isn't like you wouldn't. The way it sits with the sky, you have to find it when you see it with blending in with the. It does. It looks like the clouds. The colors of it.
Yeah, very similar to the sky blue a little bit, and maybe a little baby blue in there, and some designs and swirls at the bottom that maybe mimic the water below. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Now, one of these days, I'll get me and my wife up on that thing. It just has to be. It's one of those things where it more has to be perfect timing, us down there, nothing else, you know, just in the moment and do it. I just can't see me planning on doing it.
Well, let me know how you may go, because you'll never get me up there. Take a lot of pictures.
I will, buddy. One of these days, we will get up there. What's next, my friend?
Let's see here. take a photo tour of Copper Creek Villas and Cabins at Disney's Wilderness Lodge.
They are gorgeous. This place is absolutely beautiful, dude. Have you seen all the photos of it?
Oh, yeah. I've seen quite a few of them, and it is beautiful. I'm definitely going to go over there on my next trip. But, yeah, this is just a photo. It's not really a story here. But this is the new DVC area over at the Wilderness Lodge. Is that?
Yeah, it's all their cabins. They're absolute. The cabins, I think the cabins now are my dream. I'd rather stay in these cabins than the bungalows at the Polynesian or the tree houses.
Wow, you like them that much, huh?
What I love about them is I love how they're right on the water, how they overlook the water. But I like the subduedness of it. Like, that's why I love my Riverside, dude. When I go back home, I want to be relaxing. And I know the Poly's gorgeous, and I know Pat is, oh my God, he's picking on my Poly right now. Yo, the bungalows are the best. If I had them, I would give every penny to stay in them. They're beautiful. But anyway, they're gorgeous, and the tree houses are a dream of mine to stay in the same way. But I just like the way this is set up with the porches, with the little picnic tables on the water. I grew up camping with my family, the whole nine yards. This Wilderness Lodge reminds me a lot of my father. And I know the tree houses they're more like Swiss family. It's not as much. These are designed like, they remind me of camping. And I grew up loving to camp. And I just love, these are more my design is what I would be a dream of mine. That's all. Not that all the other ones aren't beautiful and I would do anything almost to stay in any of them. But this is the one I would choose if they were offering me a week to stay in any of them.
No, I mean, and we've said it a million times, Doug, and you don't really need to defend your love of the cabins. I know you're just telling us why you like them, but I mean, that's the beauty of Disney. That's why they have so many different and unique resorts, because if everyone liked the same thing, they could just build cookie cutter they'd all be the same and everyone would love them. So the fact that some like more rustic and, you know, woodsy, and some like highfalutin, you know, like over at the Grand Floridian or something like that. I mean, we tease, you know, people that like the Grand Floridian all the time. It's not our personal cup of tea, but there's a lot of people that love that. For them, that's great. And there's people, I guarantee you, there's people that stay over at the Grand Floridian that would say, I would never stay in a cabin during my vacation, you know, and they don't like that over there. And it doesn't make one right or one wrong. It's just different likes, and different people like different things, so that's all good.
Yeah, I like the voice you use too.
My Thurston Howell.
Yes. Oh, lovey. But no, I these are beautiful. I really I think they're gorgeous. I want to head over and I want to see them on the next trip when we head over to the bar to hang out over to Copper Creek Bar. We're gonna go. I want to check out some of these cabins up close and personal. They look gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down there 11 days, so I should have some extra time, and I'm definitely going to put that on the list to go over there and check that whole place out, because, and you know this, and you say it all the time, even, you know, as many pictures as you look at or videos you might look on YouTube, until you see it for yourself in, you know, three dimensions, if you will, you really can't appreciate it.
Yeah, I want to go out to that Geyser Point big time. I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the definite on me and Brenda's to-do list on this next trip.
Oh, that's awesome. Let's see here. Disney-operated restaurants joined Visit Orlando's Magical Dining Month for 2017. Let's see here. Jico, the cooking place. What do we got here? Wow, what is this all about?
Well, tell us.
it's bizarre. It's just a bunch of it just tells about the restaurant here. Well, we'll tell you a little bit about Jico here. How's that? Jico, the cooking place, details. The cuisine is African. The type of restaurant that it is obviously a signature table service. Price range is $60 and under for, basic entrees and dishes. They have alcohol served. No characters. There's no character dining at Jico.
No,
right, Doug?
No. Not that I know of, unless they started it as of yesterday haven't been down there.
Right. Let's see here. And it's operated by Disney, which is important to me. I'd like to see more of the restaurants. Although, I got to say, some of the...
Boathouse and Paddlefish are...
They're awesome restaurants, so I cannot complain. But I think I'm looking at it from the perspective you do. I'd just rather have more Disney cast members involved with the construction and then the operation going forward. But that's just me.
Do you want me to read the total article for you? I got it here.
Yeah, if, yeah, because I'm
it didn't load. Okay, it's saying Disney. It's saying Disney operated restaurants joined Visitorlando Magical Dining Month for 2017. This year, Visitorlando Magical Dining Month will feature some of Disney's own restaurants, along with a handful of the finest from Disney Springs. Geico, The Wave, The Turf Club, Boat Rights, Olivia's Cafe are among the Disney operator participants, joining Morimoto's Asia, STK, Paddlefish from Disney Springs. STK is going to be open. During Magical Dining Month, over 100 Orlando restaurants in 100 Orlando area restaurants will offer pre-fixed three-course dinners for $35. $1 from each meal will benefit Freedom Ride and Base Camp Children's Cancer Foundation. Whether you arrive at the restaurant as a walk-in guest or with advanced reservation, just ask your server for a Visit Orlando Magical Dining Month menu. No voucher, coupons, or flyers are needed. Here are the menus from the Walt Disney World restaurant, and you can visit the full Orlando Magical Dining Month lineup and menus at Visit Orlando site. Boatwright's Dining Hall, Port Orleans Riverside. Choice of appetizers, Amelia's Salad, which is a fresh green seasonal ingredients and house vinaigrette, Mardi Gras fritters, and crawfish biscuits. I'm in for the biscuits. Hello, guys. Crawfish bisque. My screen was loading as it went down, so all I see was BIS, so I just was reading, and it got me.
Yeah, that's okay.
It says traditional style bisque with crawfish tails and a touch of sherry, finished with creme fraiche. So, choice of entree, Jackson Square Etouffee. John's in.
Yep, he loves that.
Chicken and dumplings. I love some chicken and dumplings. What about you, Dan?
Nah, not a fan. Not a fan.
I love it. Pan-seared chicken breast, hand-rolled potato dumpling, mixed vegetable with a cream sauce, and General Fulton's prime rib. Slow-roasted prime with our specially crafted chicory coffee blend, mashed potatoes, seasonal vegetable, and horseradish cream. And then choice of dessert, creme brulee, seasonal sorbet, and Bourbon Street pecan pie. I'll tell you what, for $35, that's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, I wonder if it's the full-size entrees or whether the portions are smaller than they'd normally be. Because now that you're reading this, I remember this. They did this last year, too. Although I don't think as many restaurants from Disney participated, I'm pretty sure they did dabble into this thing. And that's what I was missing, the connection. It's actually, obviously focused on Orlando, not just Disney World, and it's all-inclusive like that. So, but from what you read, I mean, the food offerings sound great for the price. I mean, I'd definitely try this if I was there during this time.
Absolutely. The Grand Floridian Cafe is next up. Choice of appetizer, seasonal citrus and cucumber salad, caramelized onion soup grittini, and old chicken and Old South chicken wings. I'm in.
I want my chicken wings new.
Okay.
I want old ones.
Okay, we'll get you some new ones then. Some of the old ones taste good. They're a little tough to bite, but they're pretty good.
All right.
It says crispy fried and spun with key lime d'Italia pepper sauce. No, I'm in. Choice of entree, grilled pork chop, 10-ounce pork chop, boursin cheese potato croquet, roasted baby carrots with a peppercorn cream sauce and onion jam, miso glazed salmon, I'm in, lemon sticky rice, fresh beans, wasabi peas, and ginger soy vinaigrette, or pan roasted chicken breast with buttery mashed potatoes, I'm in.
There you go.
Choice of dessert, two small desserts. It says small desserts, select two. Moco pot de creme, coffee flavored custard and whipped cream, wild strawberry cheesecake, fresh berry tart, and a chocolate timbale. So I'm in.
Yeah, them sound great. There must be those little like sampler ones where they're offering you two. So, you get to try a little taste of both of them. So, yeah, that sounds great.
To Molino at Walt Disney World Swan Resort. I'll tell you what, this is a beautiful looking restaurant. I wouldn't mind getting over here one day. It's really elegant looking.
Yeah, man, with all the restaurants we got on our living list, I don't know. I mean, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of, we've talked about it. There's a ton of restaurants over at those two resorts, the Swan and Dolphin, that I just can't get to because I got so many others to get to on property. Yeah, or, the regular Disney restaurants, if you will.
Yeah, it's been years for us. But choice of appetizer at Milano's is arancini. Italian rice balls over spicy marinara sauce, Insalata Caesars, and Insalata Trattoria. Choice of entrees, it's salmoni. It's broiled salmon, light garlic, olive oil, wild mushroom, and broccoli rabe. Sounds pretty good. Polla piccata, European cut chicken breast, lemon white wine. Penne regatta, you know what that is. And tortilla al pasta. Crispy peas, meat tortellini, crispy peas, and cream sauce. That sounds really good. And then they have a flourless chocolate cake whipped cream, cheesecake a la Italian style cheesecake whipped cream, and tiramisu. So, I mean, for $35, these are a heck of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, you can't touch that price for, you know, food of that quality at any restaurant down there. I mean, yeah, if you're going to do counter service, obviously, but if you're going to sit down at Disney, you're going to spend all of that and then some.
Hey, you could eat at Gico for this. Gico at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lies, choice of appetizer, Gico salad. And this is good. I want this. It says Epcot Land Pavilion Greens, Dennis. It specifies that.
I've never seen that. Usually it just says, you know, from Disney or something. Yeah. Never that specific.
Locally grown, whatever.
Yeah.
And it says Epcot Land Pavilion Green, stone fruit, pistachios, halva, grilled halamani cheese, apricot, ginger dressing. I would like to try that just because I could say, oh, this Epcot salad is a little soft or not firm.
Well, you can go and living with the land in the morning and pick out your lettuce or whatever you're going to have in your salad, and it'll show up on your plate later that evening.
More like, this Epcot romaine isn't as crispy as I would like, lovey, as you would say.
Yeah.
Then they have an Ingude Tibbs and Brick. Mushroom, spinach, cheese, crispy Tunisian phyllo, apple, and a curry vinaigrette. I want that just to see what the heck it is.
Yeah, that has an interesting name to it. Yeah, so I'd like to see what that is as well.
Choice of entrees, bow cap, Malay seafood curry, calamari, red shrimp, mussels, coconut curry sauce, and a saffron rice. Botswana style, Szechuan beef short ribs. And we know it's a cassava potato puree, sambal, baby carrots and mushrooms, and a West African koki corn, mushroom, poblano, tomato puree, roasted red pepper sauce. So, and then choice of dessert. Dude, I can't even read this one. It's a malva pudding. That's what we're going to call it. The ingredients,
right.
I can never – and then a safari sunset, which is a carrot cake, cornbread, calamansi, a lemon, crumps, cognac coffee, streusel. And that ain't strudel. It's a streusel is the way they're pronouncing it. It's streusel. Streusel?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Citrus gel. My wife would be sitting next to me like just – giving me the cross eyes for some of these pronunciations. But, dude, if you guys had to read this, just get the Safari Sunset. It's very good. Then you got the Marimota Asia at Disney Springs. Choice of appetizer, black cod, shrimp. It's a shrimp yuan sen. It's a poached Key West shrimp, bean thread noodle salad, soy lime dressing, beef bulgogi tacos, and crunchy spicy tuna roll. And that's add $5 if you want the tuna roll.
Still a good deal.
Yes. And then they have choice of entree. It's the red miso salmon. It's a Morimoto shrimp and chili sauce. It's an Asian Ebi chili, which is shrimp and chili sauce. A5 Wago beef burger steak. And a half rack Marimoto spare ribs. Six piece add $9, it's telling you. Choice of dessert, green tea, panna cotta, a mango coconut soup with fresh local berries. I never had a mango coconut soup. Have you, Dan?
No, not that combo.
No. And then an Asian pear chocolate mousse. And then you can go over to Olivia's Cafe at Disney's Old Key West, which is a hidden gem. choice of app. I might be going here. Choice of appetizer, crab cake. You gotta be a crab cake. I'm in.
Yeah.
Pan fried and served with avocado puree, house made roasted pepper, rumelade sauce, and a chayote salad. That sounds pretty good. Conch fritters, which we all know what they are, and a tomato mozzarella salad.
Yeah, not bad. Were you serious? You think about eating here on your trip?
If they have this deal, it ain't going to be there then, but I'm just saying, the menu so far, I like it. Choice of entrees is 7 Mile Sea Scallops, which is right in my wheelhouse. Pan-seared scallops over polenta foam topped with an edamame succotash and tomato vinaigrette, plantation key pork chop, and a southernmost buttermilk chicken. I mean, buttermilk chicken, you can't go wrong with mashed potatoes and southern gravy. Nope. And then you knew they would have a key lime for dessert, key lime tart. And come on, how do you go wrong with this? A banana bread pudding sundae.
That sounds good as well.
Oh, my goodness. It says house-made daily and served warm with bananas, Foster sauce, and vanilla bean ice cream. Oh, my God.
Yeah, while you were reading all that, I still get a kick out of it. And I know you guys are into, you know, cooking and all that. But things were so much simpler years ago. Like, you had meatloaf or, you know, the way they explain all the ingredients now and they use all these fancy words. And I know it makes it sound more appealing, but I just get a kick out of it, you know. When most of the things, you know, we covered that when we covered the Skipper Canteen. You know, they had all these weird names or have all these weird names. But when you boil it all down, it's probably a dish that you've had 100 times, just called something else, you know?
No, I hear you, dude. Talk to your son. He'll explain it to you.
Yeah, you're right.
It's an art now. Cooking has become – I mean, cooking, man, is the thing. I mean, you go on – everywhere you go on TV, I mean, we were kids. How many times did you have a TV show on 3, 6, or 10 on the main networks that had anything to do with cooking?
No, you didn't. I mean, we had the what's her name there?
Julia Childs.
Yeah, that was the only one I remember.
But she
seeing.
Was on like PBS. She was on like the you know them
networks. Public
Access. Yes, TV. she wasn't on the main networks. Now you got Master Chef and Kitchen Nightmares, and on NBC, on ABC, you got them Four Chefs. I forget the name of that one. Like, every network has their own cooking show now.
Yeah, to look at the Chew in the Morning and all that stuff. I mean, you're right. It is a multi-billion-dollar industry now. And, you know, and I told this story a million times. That's how my son got into cooking. He used to watch Emerald Show when he was on, when Food Network first started. He would rather watch that than watch cartoons like any normal kid. He would watch the cooking shows, you know, day after day after day. And, you know, who knew he would take that up as his career? And now he's a big shot down in New York City at working at a 5-star restaurant.
Just because your dad don't think you're normal, I do.
Gee, thanks, Doug.
Hey, I know. I'm just kidding with you. I know you're very proud of him.
Oh, absolutely.
And you should
I wish
be.
He was here to cook me more food, to be honest with you.
But you know what also, Dan? I think a lot of our we're becoming smarter as a race. I mean, the thing of it is we're finding out that there's all these food allergies and stuff like that. And I think that has a lot to do with it too. Like, they want to put most everything in there so you could see if there's shellfish, or you can ask if it's gluten free. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? The cheese, everybody has these dietary needs now. Plus, we're all health conscious. We don't want you hiding stuff in there that we don't want to eat.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, with the labels and all that stuff, I mean, they were sneaking stuff in on us all those years. We had no clue. It was, you know, we just ate it, and that was it. Now, with all the laws, which I guess are good when it comes to food and, even the calories, you see all the, you know, vendors and restaurants, they all have the calories on the menus and meals now. So you have an idea of what the heck you're eating, you know, when you get that Big Mac and it's 1,100 calories or whatever it is, you know, you might make some different choices. That's all.
Yeah, it's just I get it. It was a lot simpler, but it was just like I was in the liquor store on Friday night and I was saying there's a husband and wife there and they're like confused. And I'm like, they're like looking up and down. And I had made the comment. I said, Wasn't it easier back in the day in some ways when you had five beers to choose from? I mean,
you're right.
And I love it now. Don't get me wrong, because I'm glad I found my victory in the whole nine yards, and we got the longboard, and there's so many different beers. The Peroni, I like all this stuff. But I remember when I was a kid, it was Bud, Coors Light, Miller Lite, and if you didn't have any money, you got Old Milwaukee. You had Pabst Blue Ribbon. I mean, there wasn't as many choices. It was basically they all tasted close to the same.
Right. No, it's so true. It's so true. I mean, the biggest distinction was you were either a Bud or a Miller guy, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like Coke and Pepsi, you know, you're one or the other. Usually, you don't go both ways. You're loyal to one or the other. But you're right, Doug. With choice does come complications.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I go to my friend. You go to your friend's house. You want a beer? You got to. Back in the day, yeah. Because you knew there was nothing you didn't like. Now it's like, what are you serving me?
Right. Do you have any micro brews? I don't like ales. I like lagers. You know, it can go on and on and on.
Yeah, my buddy Joe, he's like this crazy elf or something they have out. It serves every year. It's like 14% alcohol. I know. I don't want that crap. I got to drive home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want that beer. I mean, I'm sure it's good, but you ain't hitting me over the head with that or whatever the heck it is. But, you know, he looks forward to that coming out every year. So you stop at his house, you're going to get crazy off or whatever the heck it is. But no, you look at literally in my liquor store now, there's freezers that are probably, I don't know, 50 feet long, a row of them, and they're stocked, and there's not. Two of this, the whole thing is full of different beer. I mean, it's like you need a master's degree to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. The the package store near my house. I was just thinking about when I was in there the other day. They never had all them coolers for the beer. They didn't need it because, to your point, they just needed to fill it with the five big, Bud, Miller, and, Coors, whatever. And that was about it. But now where there's so many microbrews, they need the refrigerator space. And if they don't have it, they're going to lose business because people do want to peruse through 30, 40, 50 different beers. And, they'll be loyal to a store that has that amount of assortment.
You're 100% right, because Friday night's the busy night there. You know that. You're on your way home and you want to grab. And I usually don't go on Fridays because of that. But I'm standing in line, and that's what brought it to my attention. I'm in line. There's probably 10 of us in there. And I'm looking around. There was not one American, one big company. There wasn't a Bud, of course. Everything was a different. Yeah. I had my Victory Hellas. And everybody else had a different brand that I didn't know of, or I didn't know of that wasn't the big one of the big five or six. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like – and everybody has their favorite. Like, you'll watch the guy, because I'm watching guys walk in, they go right to where they know the cooler is, grabbing that beer. And it's like, it was hard. It just brought it to my attention. I'm like, I can't believe nobody has Coors Light or Bud here.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I people watch like that too, and I wouldn't say it's rare, because those, the big five or whatever you want to call them, they're still making money, obviously. Yeah. But
my other buddy Joe, that's all he has is Coors Light. One of my buddies I work with, he's a big Coors Light fan. I stop at his house, he has a Coors Light for you.
But yeah, even where we do our food shopping, where you can get, around football all the time, not just football season, but all the big beer vendors sell like the 30 packs, the cubes and cans. And I used to see a lot more people buying those, but now they've expanded the microbrew. So there's a whole aisle of both chilled and warm, beer microbrews that you can pick up. And more often than not, I don't know what the percentage is, but I see for quite a few carriages with the microbrews in it. And when they don't have the cubes, of course, or Bud Light or, Miller Light or whatever. So it has changed. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, every time I go in, everybody I'm standing next to in line has a different, because I'm looking at the beer, because now that I'm into it a little bit because our buddy John wore off on us.
Yes.
I'm going to have to send him a bill for all the different beers I've tried over the past year. I've tried more beers than last year than I have my entire life.
It all started with that Le Fin du Monde, though.
Yes. I mean, and don't get me wrong, at Disney, I always try different ones because I'm always exploring. I like to try different. I like to expand my palate. I like to try different foods. Even if I don't like it, I like to say, I'd rather say I tried it than have the same thing besides my bangers and mash over and over and over again.
Right.
And the only reason the bangers and mash are special to me is because I only get them once or twice a year. If we make them once and down there, but there's nothing like getting theirs.
It's
my specialty, but for the most part, I like to expand my palate, and so I will try all the different beers and drinks in the country. But I never went to my liquor store and really bought anything different. Peroni is what I started from Disney. That's what really started it.
Right.
You know, from the Italian Pavilion, I fell in love with that beer. That's one of the first foreign beers I ever really bought. I was always at the house Coors Light.
Yeah.
That was it. And the Molson, I'm lying. The Molson Canadian started it from Disney World, the Disney World beers. But I drank that when I was a kid. When you had extra money, you would buy that.
Right.
Or a Moosehead.
Yeah. I mean, I think I told this story on the show, too. At Saratoga Springs, they had or have a lager and an ale from Saratoga Springs, New York, that they used to have down there. And that was one of the first microbrews that I tried years ago because I thought it was cool that they had a beer that was called Saratoga Springs at Saratoga. So, as I remember, it was pretty good, but I just liked the Disney connection. And then when I got home, I tried to find it locally, which I could not. But I did. I think I emailed the manufacturer and the brewer, not the manufacturer. But I found out how I could get some. I never did get it back here at home, but I did try to look into it. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like you told that story about Tony Montana there when, you know,
yes,
you
got to drink Cuban the beer. Peroni. The Cuban beer.
Yeah. So that's a connection for you that you'll always have, and mm-hmm. you happen to like the beer, so you'll always think of that when you get a six-pack of Peroni or whatever for the rest of your life. So that's a cool connection.
Absolutely. I like that. The Harps and the Molson Canadian. I grabbed them just to – I sit out on my porch thinking I'm at World Showcase. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So let's head back over to the paddlefish now. Choice of appetizer, which I like these. Fried green tomatoes.
All right.
Green salad, which is a regular romaine, hearts, cucumber, grape, tomato, and onion, and a yuzu. And New England clam chowder, Dan. You like New England clam chowder, or what
of
do you
course.
Like?
Of course. That's the only way to have it. Okey-doke. It's wrong any other way.
Okay, just making sure it has bacon and tomato in this one, Dan.
I don't know about the tomato, bacon.
I'm sorry, bacon and potato.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was just correct. Reading the fried green tomatoes, the bacon right. Bacon and potato, which it
the
sounds like.
Yeah. The tomato-based, I'm sorry. The tomato-based is usually the Manhattan version.
Yes, exactly. Which is a little better, but I'm just kidding. The conch chowder, which I like that. Have you ever had conch?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then a wheat berry salad. Your choice of entrees. Here we go, guys. I know, Rose and Crown's going to be pissed off. I'm only kidding. But they have fish and chips. Here is the entree. Beer battered, flounder, sweet potato fries, and tartar sauce. Shrimp and grits, cheddar grits, spicy black pepper butter sauce, a half chicken, Caroline mop sauce. What the hell? Carolina mop sauce. Edamame bacon succotash pickled watermelon. Pork chop. What is this from? Pork chops and applesauce, please.
That would be the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, Peter Brady. House-made applesauce and green beans, and catch it today. Select one of our chef's preparations. So it sounds very good. I mean, it would be a nice way to try paddlefish, and then your choice of desserts is carrot cake with a cream cheese mousse, key lime pie, and a strawberry shortcake. So, I mean, you could try the paddlefish for $35. That's not a bad deal for those entrees.
You're getting a wide array of food and dessert and appetizer, and it's give you a good sense of what they can do there. And that's why I think it's smart, and I'm sure that's why these restaurants are jumping on this, because look at GECO. I mean, most people get a little gun-shy because of the cost, and mm-hmm. I think if they get people in at this price and people see how great the food is and the atmosphere, they're likely to go back and book a dinner reservation down the road. So it's really not only are they giving food not giving but preparing food at a great cost, but they're also it's an advertisement arm of it too, because they're going to get a lot of return business, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you once you get the place you like, you're hooked.
Yep, exactly.
Look at the thousands later we spent at Disney.
I could have. I'd be a millionaire if I didn't go to Disney for the last 25 years.
Dennis, if we combine that.
Oh, boy.
Okay, the place, and I'll tell you what, I really want to try this if I can ever get in. I mean, and it looks beautiful. The STK Steakhouse is a beautiful building. It looks awesome in there. But STK Orlando, choice of appetizers, Little Gem, lettuce Caesar salad, Key West, pink shrimp ceviche, and shaved Brussels, which are all with dried cranberries, pickled onions, and red wine dressing. So, I mean, all three of those appetizers sound pretty good. And then choice of entree, they have the petite filet mignon with olive oil, crusted potatoes, and smoked tomato sauce. Sea scallops with a carrot butterscotch, pistachio gremolata, and a butter and brown butter, and a pepperdella pasta with duck confit, wild mushroom, and Marcella's wine. I mean, the entrees, I'm in for that petite filet mignon or the sea scallops.
Yeah, that's right up your alley for a steak offering. You don't like to get the big old Texas cowboy steak there where it's hanging off the plate, so that'd be great for you.
Yeah, I got to keep my little 30-inch waist going, then. Hey, I'm proud of that. I'm going to be 50 soon, and I still got a 30-inch waist.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, buddy. Choice of dessert, warm chocolate chip cookie with caramel sauce and vanilla ice cream. That sounds really good. Simple and good, like you were talking about, Dennis.
Yep, yeah.
Salted caramel budino with vanilla chantilly and white chocolate crunch and an orange dream cheesecake. That sounds really good, too.
Yes, it does.
Your place, then, the Turf Club at Disney Saratoga Springs Resort.
Okay.
Choice of appetizer, the Turf Club grilled romaine salad. I'm sure you've had that, have you?
I've talked about that. Well, it's a version. That's the salad I told you about where they get the romaine lettuce head and they split it down the middle and throw it on the grill and, like, burn it or char it, I should say, not burn it. And it is awesome. They put that sharp cheese over it, a little bit of that, and just a simple dressing. It is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that at home yourself?
No, I haven't. And I asked the chef there when we had that, and he said that he recommends that you submerge them in ice water, the head of lettuce, before you put them on the grill. And I forget. I knew at one time what the advantage was. Maybe it don't char as
it don't
quickly
burn as quick.
Something.
No, yeah. It don't burn as quick because I've done it before. You do.
Yeah.
It's the same thing they tell you to do with the corn, even though I don't do that no more. They used to tell you to do with your corn so it wouldn't burn as fast. All I do with the corn now is when I cook my corn on the grill, know how when you shuck it?
Yep.
I don't cut the stem off of it.
Okay.
I leave that on there so I could roll it and take it off the grill. And then when I come in to cut it down to put it, because we do a lot of corn salad and stuff, we do a lot of different corn salads, and I like to do the fresh corn on the cob, and then I'll stand it up into the stainless steel bowl. The mixing bowl. I'll stand the corn up and the corn and hold the cob there, the top part, the stem, and then it makes it easier to shave it down.
Yeah, you got a built-in handle there, right?
Exactly, and you just soak. All I do is soak the stem, and what we do is I brush my corn with I melt the butter and garlic in the pan.
Yep.
And I brush the corn with the brush before I put it on the grill with the melted garlic and butter.
You're lucky. You're a few weeks ahead of me. We're a week out from local corn. It's not ready yet, but I'm sure you're enjoying it right now down there.
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous. I love it. I love fresh corn on the cob.
Yeah. So what do you got, about six, eight weeks of corn, and then you're done about?
Yeah, we have a pretty good run of it. And our local grocer, our local stand, he'll import it from south, too. That's really good. We get Georgia corn in.
Yeah, we do the same thing with us. We start off with Florida corn, then Georgia, then, mid eastern seaboard states, and then Jersey corn. You know, they do the same thing until our corn is ready. But there's not, to your point, though, there's still nothing like a locally grown corn. To me, you can tell it's just a little bit better.
No, and you want to know the reason why?
Because it's fresher.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's like if you go that day and you see them load the stand, because a lot of times when I was off, when I was working for myself, I would go to the stand first thing in the morning because they're just bringing them in fresh off the truck, from right down the street. So you're eating the corn that was picked that day compared to it being shipped up from a week coming up from Georgia, even though it's still fresh. It's a week old. It's never going to be a sweet a week old.
Exactly.
So you're getting it fresh out of the ground.
And it's just so great. I agree.
cooking at the pub, guys. Cooking at the pub. Classical yes. French onion soup. This is still at the Turf Club.
Yep.
Choice of entrees, pan-seared corvina is a lemon risotto and a garlic basil cream reduction topped with fresh tomato relish, grilled New York strip steak, hand-cut rosemary parmesan fries, and a Bernese sauce, which sounds very good, and a rigatoni fusillana with shrimp, rigatoni pasta, shrimp, creamy tomato sauce with sausage, portobello mushroom, parmesan, and fresh basil. Choice of dessert, chocolate espresso tort, and a Madagascar vanilla creme brulee. That sounds really good, that restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. Every single restaurant you've read so far, I would definitely try. There's nothing that I said that's not for me, so I'm impressed with these menus.
And I'm sorry, guy, I'm reading them all, but this is what we do here.
You can fast forward if you don't want to hear these, but I think our listeners, by and large, enjoy the menus in the restaurants, and they like planning and all that stuff. So
how bad we butcher the pronunciations of them all.
It's the uniqueness of our show, Doug.
Absolutely. The Northeast Menu Review. The Wave at Disney's Contemporary Resort, choice of appetizers, a harvest salad, seasonal accoutrements with local greens and house-made vinaigrette, seasonal soup with chef accompaniments, Prince Edward Island mussels, Chardonnay broth, fine herbs, garlic butter grilled focaccia, or whatever that is, focaccia. You could say it one way, tomato or tomato, choice of entree, cipollino, sustainable fish, scallop, shrimp, mussels, spiced tomato, clam broth, roasted Joyce Farm chicken breast with Mexican street corn. I figured out we're getting corn now. And salsa verde, and a dashi noodle bowl, sweet chili beans curd, stir-fried vegetables, undue noodles, and dashi broth, and a choice of dessert. Peanut butter chocolate cake or a seasonal sorbet. Todd English, Blue Zoo at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort. This is actually over to Dolphin. And he let us in out of the rain, so Todd English is a nice guy. Choice of appetizer, Caesar salad, baby romaine, buttered croutons, shaved Reggiano, and a lemon garlic foam. Blue Zoo, New England style clam chowder. There you go, Dan.
Yeah, he knows how to make it.
Light and brothy with salt, cured bacon, house-made oyster crackers. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Choice of entrees, simply fish. There you go, Dan. You said the simple times.
Yep.
Simply fish. Marble potatoes, pugli relish, hard and palm puree, pea tendrils. Never heard of tendrils. T-E-N-D-R-I-L-S. Tendrils, right?
Yep, that's what I would say.
And steak, it says steak frites, hanger steak, truffle purée, salsa verde, shake and bake fries. Oh, shake and bake. Dan, that's old school, baby. You need to go over here. And chicken francie, black rice, charred corn silk, capers, emulsion, and a frissy mash. I don't know what the heck that is. And choice of dessert, warm chocolate, banana, molten cake. I love anything chocolate and banana, I'm in. And then a seasonal sorbet. So there are all your offerings on Disney property, which I'm in for any of them for $35.
Yeah. I mean, that is that's a great deal. And I'm sad that I'm not going to be there while this is going on, because maybe we can get John to try one of these. I'll bet you if he hears about this, or when he listens to the show, maybe he can pop over there and take advantage of this. This would be a great, night out with his wife and son, maybe, or whatever. And, you know, they could eat some nice food and try one of these restaurants if they haven't eaten at one of them for short money, from what I can see.
Yeah, our buddy Pat's going to be down there because it's the whole month of August, right, is what it says.
I believe so.
Yeah, it starts the end of July, and it's the whole month of August. And our buddy Pat's going to be down there, but he's on the dining plan, so I doubt he'll do it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, he's gonna eat all the high-end stuff to make that work for him, so he probably wouldn't indulge in this, but that's okay.
Yeah, he'll yell at you, I get my refillable mugs. My refillable mugs make it worth the money. Pat. I love you, but you can drive me nuts, Pat.
Oh, it's just totally off topic here, but I wrote this down and I don't want to forget. So how's Presley making out? Has he accepted his island into his kitchen yet?
Oh, yes, he has. He's fine with it now.
He's over it?
Oh, yeah, he's completely over it. He's
good.
Oh,
that's good. That's good. You were concerned last week.
Yeah. That went to the new concerns was mom being gone for 2 weeks and him being left in the house alone.
Oh, he moved on to other things.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I come home from work and it's a 25-minute scream.
Telling you how mean you were for leaving him alone all day?
I was in this house all alone, bored out of my mind. Rah, 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 rah. I mean, literally, dude, he just screams at me. He'll follow me up the steps, jump on the bed, and then yell at me some more as I'm trying to take my boots off. But I love the little sucker so much. He drives me nuts. So, yeah. So the thing was now that being he was left alone, everywhere we went, he had to go in the car with us because my wife didn't want to leave him alone on the weekend.
Oh, okay. How is he in the car? Is he a parker or does he just mellow out once you get driving?
He's phenomenal until we park somewhere. And it's weird. Like, he'll pull in a parking lot and he'll be calm. And then one person will just set him off. Like, I don't know if he has a sixth sense who's evil. because 15 people could walk by the truck and he'll do nothing. And one person out of the blue will come by and he'll just lose his mind.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because, you know, every dog is different. For instance, Pluto, he gets in the car, he'll be quiet for 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden he starts barking. For what reason, we don't know, and he will not stop until we stop somewhere. I mean, and we put him in the back seat, so his head is like right 6 inches
from my ear. Oh, he'll wrap around.
Yes.
Don't you love when he tucks his head right on that side by where the seatbelt is and blows your eardrum out?
Yep, and it just nonstop. So by the time we get to where we're going, like if we take him to the, you know, to get a bath or whatever, or to the vet, it's just like you have a headache and you're so tensed up by the time you get back because you're so sick of yelling at him, and it's not a good experience taking our dog for a ride. So he doesn't get too many rides in the car.
No, see, Presley's often awesome. I even have a seat covered. It covers the entire back seat for him.
My daughter has one for her car. I know exactly what you mean.
And it's awesome. It's like made out of Carhartt almost, but it's a little softer, but it won't. It's comfortable. But, dude, he'll just lay back there. He's good. Like, we went to the car wash. I vacuumed out the car, and he laid on the back seat.
Oh, that's nice that you can do that.
But then a dude pulled up next to us. My wife was cracking up because he pulled up next to us and Presley went off. He laughed. He was scared to death. He went he went to the other side of the car wash. I was like, I didn't even realize the dude left because I seen him hear the dog because Presley got up to the window and started screaming. And then as soon as that dude left, he laid right back down. It's like he likes who he likes, and if you don't like you, dude. But yeah, he was good. He rode all over us. We went to the stand the whole nine yards. I'm saying he got spoiled. Last two weekends, he went on every road trip that we went on.
Oh, he must have loved that.
Mommy stayed in the truck when my daddy did all the shopping.
Oh boy.
But but thanks for asking. But yeah, the island is no big deal now.
Well, that was, I just remember you didn't think he was ever going to be able to go out through that way again, the way he was acting.
Yeah, he was hiding in the dining room for some reason, afraid of a piece of wood, the idiot.
Next story here. Walt Disney World celebrates 4th of July. They had the 4th of July concert, as we know.
It was a nice show, and I remember I texted
you
then because I watched it live on Disney's Parks blog, and it was really good. The only difference was they played music to it instead of – you didn't really hear the booms going off.
Oh, okay. All right.
You heard here and there, but for the most part, they played music, and they showed the crowds and the lighting. It was cool. It was a 20 – I kept myself up. I paid for it the next day at work. With this 4 o'clock start, but I kept myself up because I had to see it. I watched the end of it with, like, you know how you're doing the one eye open, trying to hold on, and I held on. It was really good, and I'm glad I seen it the way I did. I wouldn't want to have been there.
It says, let's see here. Walt Disney World celebrated the 4th of July in style with two spectacular pyrotechnic shows. Disney Celebrate America, a 4th of July concert in the sky at the Magic Kingdom. That's the one you saw. And then the Heartbeat of Freedom over at Epcot. The Magic Kingdom show uses perimeter launch sites to surround the park with fireworks and also extends the show out to the Seven Seas Lagoon for guests watching from the area resort hotels. Even the electrical water pageant plays a part, providing audio for the resorts and displaying the flag during the finale. Over at Epcot, the park's nightly Reflections of Earth was extended with the Heartbeat of Freedom finale. And they had a video here for that as well. So, yeah, both spectacular shows in their own right. And I've never been down there for 4th of July, so I've never seen neither. But if it's anything like the other shows that they do for, you know, the special holidays that they have down at Disney World, it was probably fun. And I agree with you, Doug, even funner to see from afar or on video, because it's usually a massive humanity during these times of year down there.
Yeah, my wife's claustrophobic. Good fan with a lot of people around and stuff like that. Like, she gets a little, like, she ain't like bad, she just don't like it. She's uncomfortable
right.
with it. And I think it might even start it, because their first 2 years that she went to Disney, she was down there for the Spirit of 76 and 77 as a little girl, and
wow.
both times was 4th of July, so she got to see all that. So I think maybe the crowds then, because the one park open at the time. It was crazy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I
yep.
don't think she's – and then with my brother and all, years later, we have no interest in going back on 4th of July. But it would have been cool to be there like she was for the Spirit of 76.
Right. All of those things are great, you know, earmarks, if you will, to commemorate these different things. And it is nice to say you were there or, you know, and get a little collectible. But a lot of times it's so difficult. And like you said, Doug, you know – no, I don't think anybody likes, whether you're claustrophobic or not, nobody likes to be in an environment where if something happened, you couldn't take a step either way. I mean, there's just nowhere to go. That's not a comfortable feeling for anybody. So I don't think many people would say they enjoy an environment like that.
No, I you know, there are some people, but not many, Dan. Some
no.
people like to be the part of the crowd, and I don't.
No, I'm not.
Like the idiots, and I'm sorry, let me use this term. I'm sorry to call, I'm the idiot because I don't like it, but the tailgaters at the Eagles games in the morning, I just don't understand why you want to be in that atmosphere.
Right. Yeah.
To me, and I know I'm the weirdo, because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people that drive their RVs and the whole nine yards to get in that parking lot at 9 o'clock in the morning for a 1 o'clock
yep.
game. And then some of the knuckleheads, they'll get there at 9 o'clock in the morning for an 8 o'clock game. And then they don't
oh,
even
yeah.
know where they were or who they are by the time the game starts. I just, dude, give me my little 55 inch in my home office here. I'm happy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, give me a victory, and my wife will make me, every once in a while, she'll spoil me and make me homemade pepperoni and cheese croissants.
Ooh.
She'll serve them to me. And
yep.
once in a blue, this is how I know I'm getting old. When we were first married and younger and in this house, I used to get them almost every Sunday.
Right.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden it was once a month or once every couple months. Now it's once a year I get my pepperoni. Like now, before it used to be, do you want me to make you some pepperoni? Like she'd bring it up.
Right.
And
she'd
get. Now the only way I get them is if I ask for them. And then even then it's begrudgingly.
Yeah.
It's because I'm getting old, you know. She don't want
yep.
me having that stuff. I know it's because she loves me. She made them when I was younger because she loved me. And now
right.
she's keeping them from me because she loves me. But
now you get oatmeal.
Yes, exactly. But, yeah, don't even say that. I can't stand it. It has to be an oatmeal cookie for me to have it.
Oh, okay.
But it's something about the texture, Dan. I don't like the texture of eating it. Is there anything
yeah.
you ever eaten that you don't like the texture?
Oh yeah, nothing's coming to my head, the top of my head right now. But I can give you a good one. Like in a salad, I like tomatoes by themselves, but I can't eat tomatoes in a salad. Like especially them cherry tomatoes.
Yeah.
I take them out. I just can't eat them. The texture of the tomato, to me, doesn't go with all the other ingredients. I cannot eat them.
Yep.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's like me, there's something about oatmeal. I can't eat it. Just it don't go down right for me. It just I don't like anything like that.
No, because you think it's wall joint compound or something.
Yeah, it's nasty. Yeah, exactly, Dan. That's what we'll say.
You there's spread my, that all day long. You don't need to be eating it.
Yeah, there's my – it's like eating paste to me. Yeah, no, yeah. I don't want it. But, no, if there's nothing like it. I'd have my pepperoni croissants, some chips, a nice couple nice cold beers. I'm all alone. Nobody to be talking to me. I'm just watching my game, and that's all I want to do. I don't want to be sitting next to the idiot that's hammered or – because, like I said, my mouth –
Yep. You end up getting into it, and you don't need to do that.
No, I know better. Just leave me alone in my break glass when needed.
Yeah. Let's see here. Coral Reef Restaurant closing for a short refurbishment in August. Epcot's Coral Reef Restaurant is scheduled for a brief refurbishment later this summer. The closure is planned to begin on August 27th through to the August 29th, reopening to guests on the 30th. So, Pat, if you're going to be going there on those 3 days, you may want to rethink your plans. But I'm sure you would have known by now that you can't book an ADR for those 3 days, but don't go to the Coral Reef during that time.
Oh, yeah. Coral Reef's okay. Like I've told the story before, we had issues in there one time with my wife because my mother-in-law and my three children, my mother-in-law, my stepmother, and my dad were hungry, and then we get there, and they all decide all they're going to have is a shrimp appetizer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we're at this beautiful restaurant. The waiter now is – he was the worst waiter I've ever had. He was like – I don't know. I can't – he was like – he was stuck up. He had attitude. Like he was, yep. He was yep. The – I don't want to – things I want to say will only get me in trouble. but anyway, he was just a nudge.
Yeah.
And then my wife got a hair in her food, and we didn't return it because the three kids only got shrimp. We felt like we were trying to get over on him, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, because he's probably thinking, oh, I'm going to get a lousy tip because the bill's going to be so much smaller. These people are,
And little did he know that we were going to take care of it. Exactly.
On the back end, but he didn't give you that opportunity because he was a jerk.
Exactly. So, and it's a beautiful restaurant, but it wasn't a great experience. It was one of the few bad experiences we've had on Disney property. And I know when you get a hair or whatever, that's not their, they ain't doing it on purpose.
It just happens.
We just didn't return it because we didn't want to look like idiots, which we already did, face it. We are a group of idiots, but we didn't want to look more like idiots.
I hear you.
But did you see, to add on, I'm going to get a little. I'm going to be nice here because apparently every time I stick up for the Disney community or I think they're getting robbed of money or whatever like that, I'm wrong. I live in an alternate universe apparently. And again, I always yell and scream and it don't 99% of the stuff don't affect me. But did you see that Tomorrowland Terrace now is joining the early order app?
I did not, but they're going to be added to the list of restaurants where you can use your app to order in advance and your food's ready when you get there program.
But did you hear the biggest thing about this?
I did not. At first, I'm hearing of it, so I'm anxious to hear what you're going to say.
Okay, so now if you order early on this app, they will not give you the AP or the DVC discount.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, you don't get that. And everybody seems fine with it. They don't have – the technology isn't ready yet, apparently, or something like that. It's not part of it yet. So, but I don't understand how Disney can't – I mean, Dennis, how about you tell me how you feel? Do you think it's fair – and because I'm the idiot that always – I seem like I'm against the grain or something. But I don't understand with the Disney technology how they can't give you that discount. Do you understand that?
So – let me see what you're getting
at. If you went to the counter at Columbia Harbor House, say, and showed them your annual your DVC or your AP card or whatever, you scan your band, what you do, they'll give you the discount at the counter if you go up and stand through the line. But if you pre-order, they're unable to give you the discount.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little skeptical at that. I mean, obviously, it's a windfall for them, 10% or 20%, whatever the discount is. So, you know, are they just kind of quote unquote saying this, that they don't have the technology, so they pocket that money? Or are they truly saying that the technology will not allow it? We won't know. But I mean, the way they're saying it, it sounds like at some point in the future, they will be able to do it and they'll restore the discount. But that remains to be seen.
Yes.
But no, I don't think it's right. I think they should have figured that out before they rolled the program out.
Yeah, sadly, Disney has it confirmed that locations offering discounts will not be able to honor them through mobile ordering during the launch period. So guests will have to go to counter service and order the old way if they wish to get annual pass holders or tables in Wonderland or any other discount. So, I mean, I just don't understand how they can't do this. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I technology's not my forte, so I can't speak to, why or how come they can't do it, but
no, I'm not going to complain. It's great. I love it. I mean, to me, I love it because you know why I love it? Because I would never use it anyway because I want people to continue to have jobs. I want to go meet the cast member, talk to the cast member, know the cast members are still working. So the bottom line for me is I'll never use it. So I'm actually going to be glad that the people are using it, don't get their discount because they're happy about it anyway. They right. want to give them more money.
Yeah, apparently so.
So enjoy it. I'm just happy. I mean, I'm happy with this. I hope they continue. I mean, it's great. I mean, I don't know. I mean, every time I go against the grain, I'm the idiot, apparently.
Well, maybe all these people are independently wealthy.
Oh yeah, they just like giving more and more. I don't get it. Yeah. I still can't comprehend how getting kicked out of the park at 6 o'clock doesn't aggravate. I don't get it. I mean, how 5 out of 7 days that you're there. And the thing of it is I had some of the other some of the people too go, well, you shouldn't have scheduled your trip for that week. Well, those parties weren't announced when the trip was scheduled for most people.
Right.
Yeah, they're not. People book a year in advance. I'm going next Christmas.
Right.
So they booked that week. Like with me, I'll figure out other things to do. Like my buddy Pat, I love him going. There's 42 square miles. You could play miniature golf. You could do this. So I could spend more money.
Right, you've already paid for your day, your $100 or whatever, maybe slightly less if you're on a multi-day ticket. But the bottom line is you've already paid for the day at Disney World. So if you want to pay in addition, sure, you could play miniature golf or, whatever. Or even if you went shopping at Downtown Disney, bottom line is you're still going to spend money that you probably wouldn't have spent if you would have allowed to stay at the Magic Kingdom and ride some more attractions or see a show or whatever was going on that night.
And I always have park hopper, so I'm going to go to the other parks, bottom line. But for the people who don't, it sucks for them. And
yep.
The thing of it is, Dennis, there's been many a nights I've told you 1,000 times, the way I like to tour is we go to a park in the morning and then we go back to our room and we decide what we want to do that night. So basically, I'm going to have to go to – and then he goes to me, he goes – and I love you again, Pat. He goes to me, well, at that time of year – 4:30 is when Sunday, because I was saying, I guess I'm going to have to pay extra to enjoy the parks at night. He goes,
right.
Well, 4:30 is, so I get an hour and a half. Oh, thank God. Thank you, Disney. I so appreciate it. So an hour and a half is the same as having 5 hours. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Well, all I know is I think Pat will be pretty impressed at your impression of him, his voice. You're doing a great job.
I think I sound a little better than he does, but anyway. No, but we're boys, and we could do this. I'm only playing. When I go over to the Mickey Dudes, they do a wonderful show, and they're great over there, and I love them all, even Dave.
Yep, yep.
They're all great guys, and I'm just saying, the point is, dude, I'm getting in trouble all the time, but if you made your trip a year in advance and 5 of the 7 days is the Magic Kingdom, especially if you only go once every so many years, isn't the Magic Kingdom the park you want to be at? There's a reason why they charge more for that park than any other park.
Yeah, it's the most popular, theme park in the world, literally. So, I mean, more people visit there every year than any other park in the world. It's the place to be. And, you're right, Doug, as much as we love Epcot, I mean, Magic Kingdom is the granddaddy of them all. It's the heart of the magic and all that stuff. And it sounds corny, but, we get there multiple times on a trip. And to your point, if you're doing a 7-day vacation during one of these weeks that is booked heavily for the party, you really got to do some finagling with your ADRs and your plans and make sure you're prepared for it, because if you're not going to a party, you're going to have to find something else to do on those nights. And Pat is right. There is plenty to do at Disney World, which is why we love it. But that's not really the point. It's more the principle of it than it is the actual point of, you have to do something else. We get that. We know that. We've been there for years. But our point is you shouldn't have to, after paying close to $100 for the day already, to enjoy all that Walt Disney World is, particularly at Magic Kingdom in this case.
And the point I'm making, on the day that there is a party, say Monday's the party, I don't have the exact date, I just know 4 of the 6 days when I'm there, it's closed. So, on, so say Tuesday's the party and Wednesday don't have a party. So if I go for a single ticket on Tuesday, it's still going to be the $120-some. And if I go for a single ticket on Wednesday, it's still going to be $120-some. And how is that justifiable when Wednesday's three more hours? Or
right.
2 more hours. I mean, or 3 more hours because you're kicked out at 6. You're allowed to stay to 7 if you want to spend more money. You just can't
right.
go on a ride. Thank you very much for that. But so I paid the same price for 3 more hours. How is that justifiable? And then the other thing is, Dennis, how many family members and friends do you know that have gone to Disney World? And they don't spend hardly any time like you. There's been trips recently. You haven't even gone to the studios. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and there's a lot of people that didn't, that don't want, that for years, wouldn't go to the Animal Kingdom. I've had friends that, if they go to Disney, even with their park hoppers, if they went for 7 days, if they went to Disney World, they would go to the Magic Kingdom 4 or 5 of those days because their kids wanted to be at the Magic Kingdom. Am I wrong?
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
So how's that fair? I mean, you're getting kicked out. I just don't understand how they need that many parties. I even said it to the cast member the other day when I called about my tickets. I mean, about
right.
trying to change my room around.
She what did they say?
She couldn't say anything. She agreed. I could tell when they agree with you when they shut up.
Right. Well, they know they're being recorded, too, and
exactly.
they don't want to say anything
exactly.
that would, you know, be detrimental to the company, you know.
But Doug knows they're being recorded, so my voice is on that recording, so they get some of me.
Right, right. Yeah, good strategy. They have to, they do listen to those, and you're getting your point across.
Exactly. Any way the bird can chirp is I do it, you know. And I was nice. I wasn't mean. I didn't curse her just like I did on this show. It just, I don't think it's fair. And I understand. I mean, for some people, it's not a big deal. But to me and Brent, we don't want to pay for the party this trip. We don't want to. Might. But we don't want to. We might
right.
have to, and it's going to be a bitter taste in my mouth.
Right, right, because you're going to be feeding the monster that you're fighting here. So, but I mean, you got to enjoy yourself too.
Who doesn't want to ride the TTA at night during Christmas in the parks? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
I want to be there.
Yeah.
I want to be there, and I don't know how the day's going to go. What if I get – and this is the other thing. Well, the park, it's light until 6 o'clock. Well, anyway, what if it rains 2 or 3 of my nights? And the nights – the two nights at the Magic Kingdom's open late for me will be the nights it pours out.
Right.
So
right.
I don't get to go to the park all week at night. I get my hour in. Yeah, that's why I'm so happy about that. I should – God bless them. Give them an extra $20 for my $120 for the day.
A big whole hour.
Yeah, but I know, and I know. It's just, but I'm wrong, apparently. Everybody else is on board with it.
Well, the way I view it, Doug, in a lot of these things, this is what happens. It will only upset folks that have a differing opinion when it affects them and their family, and that day is probably coming in the near future. And then they'll realize or understand, you know, the position that that you have on this, that, you know, it's not fair because it will be upsetting to them because it's going to impact their personal vacation. See, right now, this is just what ifs and maybes and if I book or when I'm going. So it's not real to them. So they don't really, I think, see a big deal in it. But I think if they truly had an experience that it altered their trip or weren't able to see the Magic Kingdom on a particular trip or only get to see it for an hour or whatever, they would be singing a different tune on this. That's what I think.
Yeah, I hear you, Dan. And like, again, I mean, so I don't want to go off on the tangent about the mobile ordering. I just pay your extra money. It won't bother me because I'll be standing in line.
Yep.
Enjoy it.
Reading,
enjoy
your little menu.
Yeah, enjoy not getting your 20%.
Yep.
I'm not going to help you. Good for you.
Let's see. Moving right along. Disney Springs to offer $25 bonus shopping cards starting July 13th. If you buy a special limited edition $100 shopping card, you will get a $25 bonus shopping card to spend at Disney Springs. The $100 shopping card and the $25 bonus card can be used at any Disney-owned and operated merchandise location at Disney Springs, along with the Shop Disney Parks app and the airport at Orlando International Airport. The $100 shopping card will be sold only at Walt Disney World and has no expiration. The $25 bonus card expires October 29th, 2017. And the shopping carts can be used at World of Disney, Disney Designer Tea, Disney Days of Christmas, Disney Pin Traders, Disney Wonderful World of Memories, Goofy's Candy Company, Marketplace Co-op, Marketplace Fun Finds, Mickey's Pantry, Once Upon a Toy, The Art of Disney, Trendy, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique at Disney Springs, The Ganachery, D-Living, Sundries, Disney's Candy Cauldron, Star Wars Galactic Outpost.
We'll see John there.
Oh, yeah. Superhero Headquarters, Disney's Airport, The Magic of Disney, and Shop Disney Parks app. I'll say it like this. I would definitely buy these, or maybe even several of these, because we tend to spend, decent money when we go for souvenirs and, you know, gifts for folks back home when we go. So to me, they're giving you $25 if you're going to shop at any of these stores anyways. It's worth it. Of course, if you're, you know, like I think you, Doug, you rarely buy anything or souvenirs or anything like that. So if you're not going to be doing that, then it wouldn't be worth it for you, I would guess.
Well, I usually, how can I put this? We only spend a buck or two we'll usually spend over $100. So it would be worth it to me, because I usually get a couple hats. Brenda might get one shirt, or she'll get something. But not, it's usually Brenda ends up getting something. Listen to my English.
Getting
something. Brenda usually ends up getting something when it's something she needs. One year it was really bad and sunny and she forgot a hat, so we got her a hat. Or we brought her umbrella one year it was raining. So usually Brenda's thing ends up usually being something that we need.
Right.
So,
but, and I didn't see that. And you're right, Doug. World of Disney was the first one I read. So the fact that that's eligible for this program, you're right. I know you go in there all the time, and you're probably likely to, maybe not some of these specialty stores, but you definitely find stuff in the World of Disney that you would be buying.
Yeah, because we get my sister-in-law or my mother-in-law. We usually grab family members, odds and ends, you know, but we don't usually spend a lot on ourselves.
So. Right.
But every trip, last trip, I got me and Brenda Disney cooking aprons, and I'm still waiting for Disney to call me to model them, because I look good in my in my apron. But I got us new aprons, which, you know, they were like, I don't know, $70 between the two of them, or $60-$70. So
right.
You know, so we usually end up, and a hat, so there's my $100. You know,
right? So I mean, they're giving you $25, so you might as well, if you were going to be here during this time, you should buy this then, at least one of them, because you're throwing $25 away if you don't.
Hopefully they move it until it keeps running until December 3rd.
Yeah, that's the only thing. There's an end date on this. And I wonder why they're doing this. Is business slow down there? What do you think the rationale is? I'm always skeptical. Why are they giving us $25 here? I mean, I don't know.
It's the time of the season that it's summer. This is the dead time of the year. Really, I mean, because fall comes, it's Christmas, it's school shopping.
Right.
I mean,
right.
This time of year, you're buying a short, a tank, and a bikini. You know, you're really not buying, you know, girls wear flip-flops all summer. You know what I'm saying? There's not really, you're not really, where we spend all our money around the house is on stuff for the outside as far as the porch, and we're not buying itself clothes at this time of year, really. That's done. So I think it's just kind of a little infusion. It's kind of – a lot of stores run sales, 4th of July sales. They're not doing that out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because all the kids are out of school, parents are off, teachers are off, everybody just lounging around. Nobody's in any hurry to go out and buy stuff.
Right. People are at the beach or up in the mountains or, you know, they're away. I guess that makes some sense. I mean, and they're guaranteed. I mean, I guess – you know, they're going to make $75, right? If they're given the $25. I mean, they're guaranteed because you're going to pre-purchase this. So it's money in the bank for them, and they're guaranteed to get, you know, that volume of sales regardless.
Plus, it's scorching hot. It's summertime. In the afternoon, instead of going to the springs, you're going in the pool.
Right.
So they're trying to get people on that off time probably during the day to head down to the springs. Nighttime's probably good there. You know, once the sun goes down, you can go down for dinner, stuff like that. But a lot of people, when they're headed down for dinner and stuff like that, you're usually going to stay at the lounge most of the night. You're probably not shopping.
Right.
You're making a night of it. So the afternoon is probably why they're probably doing this, because they're trying to get people in between the hours of 12 and 5.
Right. fill that gap.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're probably right. There's, you know, there's a reason, and we try to figure it out usually, and usually we hit on what it is, and that sounds like a very reasonable explanation.
You know me. I have to have an opinion regardless if it's right or wrong.
Yeah. Throw it out there, right?
I'll give you one.
Yeah. That's all I have for news, Doug, and if you, unless you have something else you want to add to the pile.
No, the only one I had was that app, the pre-order app. And and then our buddy John, we wish him luck. And again, Pat, I hope you don't think I'm picking on you. You know, I, you guys are my boys over there, so I was only playing with you. You broke my stones on a texting me all week. So you wrote me paragraphs that I couldn't respond to because I was at work.
Uh-oh.
But I like going back and forth with Pat because we know it's all good-natured. And we both care about the parks, and we both have opinions. Usually mine's right, but we both have to have opinions.
Right.
No, but it's all in good fun. It's weird to be arguing with Pat, not Dave.
right. Yeah, that's funny how that's working out. But no, I mean, you're right. I mean, that's why we do what we do, and we care. And it's fun that, you know, I don't even want to call it argue, but discuss these different Disney things because we're so passionate about it. And this is our escapism. And, you know, most people we know in our real life that, you know, they think we're nuts. We are nuts for doing this. But it's our escapism. Like I said, we enjoy it. And that's why we get so amped up over this stuff. And you know, it bothers us on a personal level because, you know, we love Disney World so much.
No, I mean, we got our – I love the group of friends we have with Carmen from the Peas and Carrots and Brian and Jen and Scott and Judith and Pat and Dave and Aaron and Jim. And we have all these friends now that – we all go back and forth with things. We got Dave from Aloha 808, which is a great new podcast. And we can go on and on and on. I mean, the guy – we still like Be Our Guests and those guys over there. They're all, we got a wonderful community here, and we all disagree on things. I just feel bad that I have to be the one to rant about stuff. And I feel like the bad guy about it, but I don't get how – I mean, I just never have been the type to just do it because it's there. I mean, you have to question some things, don't you?
Yeah, question authority. Remember that saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's just – I don't – I mean, I drink the Kool-Aid, but not all the time.
Right. You at least want to ask what flavor it is once in a while.
Well, after a while, if they continue to do what they do, then all of a sudden there's a major backlash. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can only go so far. Like you've said a million times, how much longer are we going to be out to do it?
Right. There's a day that's coming that, you know, I don't know when it is, and I hope it don't come soon, but it may be that we don't go, or like I said, maybe we go every other year because it's just too expensive.
What's going to happen when we're on a fixed income?
Right. You don't have an ability, you know, if you don't have a second job or an ability to make some extra cash, you know, you may not be able to get that annual pass, and, you know, you're paying, you know, for park hoppers instead or whatever. I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at it.
No, we just care because we do. And we love to, you know, we're going to continue to be mouthing off about this because it's what we love to do.
Yep.
It's our hobby. Yep. But anyway, if you can, head over and check out the Mickey Dudes. They do a wonderful show, and buy some Joffrey's coffee from them, and go buy a timeshare if you love everything that is going on at Disney, which we do. So go over and check those guys out. And if you can, check us out. Go to the Garden Grocer or David's Vacation Club Rentals and enjoy our sponsors. Head over to our website at It's All in WDW and check out our buddy Bob. And he did some great articles this week. We got a lot of feedback on all the Epcot Pavilion stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was a hot topic, and Bob put one out this morning about the beer, and there's a big poll. You can choose 3 beers, I believe, and he discusses what we talked about on the show. It's a great poll. Check it out.
Yeah, John helped him write that article. That's what we were talking about on Tuesday, and it's going to be good. I got to go over there and vote, actually, myself, and I'll probably be the opposite of everybody else as usual.
But, all I know is when I voted early this morning, I was the first 3 votes, so my votes are in.
Oh, there you go. Good job. But you did a good job. But no, head over to our website. It's All in WDW. John and Bob, or Bob does a wonderful job on the site. And check out all of our sponsors over there. Check out Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find John at the Weekly Pint and at Beer Solo and at the Animal Kingdom, apparently.
Yes, literally.
Yes, and then you could also find me at at Grumpy67, and you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Again, guys, thanks for joining us at the pub every week. We really, really appreciate you, and we hope you all have a wonderful week ahead.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. That's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe, happy week. Bye-bye.